In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for today, and we thank you that you have sent us a great good shepherd, a shepherd that watches over us in life and in death, a shepherd that walks before us and promises us your peace. Strengthen us now in the preaching of your word, in Jesus' name, amen. There are a lot of descriptions in the scriptures that describe you and I, that describe us as God sees us, the bride of Christ. What a great image. Jesus is the groom, and we, his church, are his lovely bride that he dyes and makes whole and makes perfect. We are his children, in the waters of baptism, declared to be children of the Heavenly Father as we sing in the hymn. But Isaiah and St. Paul, they use a different term. Isaiah says this: "We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us to his own way." And St. Paul writes in Romans, "We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." We have this image that we are sheep. Now, for those of you who haven't had the great pleasure of working with sheep, let me tell you a little about them. If sheep eat too much grain too quickly in one place, they will get sick and they will die. If sheep go out on the pasture, especially spring grass like this, and they eat too much too quickly, they will get sick and they will die. If you have bottle lambs and they're so cute and so beautiful, and if you feed them too much warm milk that's the wrong temperature, they will get sick and they will die. Sheep can get foot rot and a host of other diseases, and they will get sick and die. If sheep get scared, they will run into the corner of the pen, and they will trample those in front of them, and they will smother them and kill them, and they will more than likely all die. If sheep see a little tuft of grass on the other side of the fence, because you know the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, they will crawl through that hole, and the whole flock will try it because sheep are followers, and they will get out and they will get in trouble, and they will most likely, yeah, the old joke is, if you're a sheep farmer, the difference between a live sheep and a dead sheep is about an hour. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We are that picture that Isaiah says and St. Paul says. Jesus says that we are the sheep, and because sheep need a shepherd, he comes to be that mediocre shepherd. No, he comes to be the good shepherd. When I was at St. Louis at the seminary, I was working in the communications department, and the security guards would wander through the campus, and during the evenings and afternoon hours, they would check to make sure all the doors were locked and everything was locked up. And it wasn't uncommon for them to stop into the office where I was working because it was air-conditioned, and they'd get out of the heat and the sun and the humidity. And one evening, it was about 11 o'clock, I was sitting at the desk and I saw all the security guards running across campus toward the office I was working in. And they ran in and they locked the door behind me. And I asked them what was going on, because it wasn't usual that they all would be in my office. And one said, "Someone just robbed the Walgreens 3 blocks away and the police called and said they're chasing the bad guy through the campus. And the security guys were in my office with the door locked." I'm glad they're pastors and not security guards. Jesus reminds us that there are those who will be shepherds who will not shepherd the flock well. When they see the evil one coming, when they see the threat, they will run and leave the flock because they are hired hands. They are bad shepherds. They don't care for the sheep. They're saving their own wool and they're running away. Jesus is the good shepherd. If sheep are going to survive, they need a shepherd to watch out for their every need. If sheep are going to survive, they need something that will protect them from everything that will kill them. If sheep are going to survive, they need a shepherd that's not afraid to get dirty, not afraid to get down into the muck, not afraid to stand in the front of them, in the face of every danger, including death itself. We need more than a shepherd. We need a great shepherd, God's good shepherd, to protect us in body and soul. Jesus says to us that there are other shepherds out there, and we all know them and follow, sometimes even follow these false shepherds that promise to protect us, promise to offer us good, promises us all kinds of things. But in the end, they are false shepherds, and they will not produce what they promise. They will not lay down their lives for the sheep. These hired hands, these false shepherds, have a lot of names. Here are a few of the false shepherds that we have a tendency to trust in. Investments, retirement, health, recreation, education. Let's not forget success, power, authority, and our misplaced confidence that our sin is really not that serious and I'm fine on my own. The first commandment says that we are to fear, love, and trust in God alone. So if our trust is in any other false shepherd, anything other than God alone to protect us, we are in trouble. We're like sheep without a shepherd. In the Old Testament lesson for today, in the Psalm for today, in the New Testament, in the Gospel reading for today, we see this wonderful image of a shepherd. And in the Old Testament lesson, God Himself makes these promises for us. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among those who have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. Our God, our great God, is a seeking and a searching God. And He seeks and He searches His people. In the Old Testament, there's the great story of God's people being held captive by Pharaoh. And God sends the plagues, the final plague, the 10th plague, the plague of the angel of death that will come and kill all who are not protected by the blood of the Lamb. In our seeking and searching God, searched out His people. He made a promise to them, you put the blood of the perfect Lamb on the door and on the top and on the side, and when the angel of death comes, the angel of death will pass over those who are protected by the blood of the Lamb. Our great seeking God came and He sought out His people and He made a promise that they would be protected then and now by the blood. And God kept His promise. He sought out His people, and He rescued His people that day out of the slavery that they might come and worship Him. God, the Good Shepherd, our God, is a seeking and a searching God. We saw it just 2 weeks ago, when the darkness of the land had overshadowed the cross where Jesus was nailed from noon until 3 in that darkness. God was seeking, and He was searching. He was looking for reconciliation between all of us sheep who have gone astray and the great, good, holy, and divine shepherd. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," when the darkness seemed to take away all hope, God, the good shepherd, was working. He was reconciling. He was atoning. He was propitiating. He was forgiving you, His dear lambs, and giving you the promise that He will always seek and search and forgive and love. God, the Good Shepherd, continues to seek and search for His lambs. We make the mistake of thinking, though, that somehow the Good Shepherd only came to save the good sheep. The sheep that stay in the pen. The sheep that do what they're told. The sheep that trust in the shepherd. And He certainly came to save them. But Jesus came to save all the sheep. Every one of the sheep. He came to save the lost. He came to save those lambs and sheep that always seem to find the loophole in the fence, and they're always out. He came for them too. He came in the darkness of your depression and anxiety. He is with you, pulling you into the light of His word and His peace. Our great Good Shepherd Jesus came to save all. In your insecurity, he reminds you with the sign of the cross, with the mark on you, that you are his dear child, you are his lamb that he has given his life for. He came to remind you of your very great identity, that you are a brother and a sister of Jesus, that you are a child of God the Father with all the rights and the privileges of God's offspring. He came to give us these great promise. In the complete darkness of our friends and family that might be living apart from God's forgiveness and promises, our great God and his dear Son, our Good Shepherd, seeks and searches for ways to break into their darkness and bring them to the light and the truth of his word. These are the Good Shepherd's promises for you. Jesus says, this is God the Father in Ezekiel. I will seek the lost, and I will bring them back to the strayed, and I will bind up the injured. No matter who or where you are, these promises are for you. Now listen to the promises that the Good Shepherd makes in Psalm 23. This is written by David, the shepherd of the sheep. And David writes this, he, the good shepherd, leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. Anytime we see water in the scripture, especially water that's raging and foaming and blowing, we see evil and we see uncertainty and fear. Jesus is in the boat with his disciples, and they're all fishermen who have been on the water their whole life. Jesus is in the back of the boat asleep. And they wake him because they are worried they're going to drown. And what does Jesus do? He puts up his hands and he calms the seas, and there's not a ripple. The Good Shepherd protects us and leads us to those waters, those cool, still waters where we can be healed. Our Good Shepherd brings peace and calmness into our lives that are filled with raging seas and trouble and fear. When Jesus is there and walking on the water and Peter steps out of the boat and he walks toward Jesus, he does pretty well until he realizes where he is and fear overtakes him and he begins to drown. And what does Jesus do? If he was a mediocre shepherd, he'd say, yep, you deserve that. But he's not. He is a forgiving and a loving shepherd. And he pulls Peter back out of the water and puts him back in the boat safely. Jesus, our good shepherd, brings peace. Even in the roar and the rage and the sound and the fury of all the world raging against him and against his church, he never ceases to quiet the waters where he and his promises are. He, our good shepherd, Jesus, our good shepherd, leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you, the good shepherd, are with me. I challenge you to find another God that will do that. First of all, find another God that's still alive. All the other false gods in the world, all of the religions that worship their God, he's dead. And in a grave rotting. Our God left the grave, rose from the grave, stands alive today to promise you that he will come again to get you, and his promises are true because he is the great, the best, the divine shepherd. Our God comes to us with promises that cannot end in death, even your death. As we one day will face and walk through this valley of the shadow of death, remember, it is only a shadow. Because in order for there to be a shadow, there has to be light. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light in your darkness. Jesus is the light even in your death, as he promises to raise you so that you might be with him. His lambs brought home to the safety of his flock. Our great good shepherd says this, that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Right here. At his table, he has prepared this meal where he not only is the host, but also the meal itself for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of your faith. In this place, you are protected. In this place, your shepherd draws you to himself to feed you. Outside, the waters roar and rage and foam against us. But here, the Good Shepherd gathers us to feed us in good pastures, to give us water, to be reminded that we are His child always, to feed us with His very body and blood. All the false and lying shepherds in the world will promise you a feast of all kinds of things. And at the end of the day, all of those promises will kill you and leave you unprotected. Jesus gives life right here at His table. His very body, His very blood, died on the cross, risen for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This is your Good Shepherd right here for you, strengthening and forgiving, calming and reminding you of how greatly you are loved. Just 2 weeks ago, we saw the Good Shepherd doing exactly what He said He would do. "I have the authority to lay my life down," Jesus said. It wasn't the Jews who killed Jesus. It wasn't the Romans who killed Jesus. It was Jesus loving you so much, you His dear sheep, that He would willingly lay down His holy and perfect life and give that gift of peace and perfectness to you. So that when God your Father looks at you, He sees perfect and holy and covered by Jesus. Our Good Shepherd has the authority to lay down His life, and He did it out of love for you. And He has the authority to take it up again. Just as we saw on that Easter morning, the ladies went to the tomb, and there were no dead body there. The Good Shepherd had risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
This is your Good Shepherd, risen from the dead for you to promise that He loves you and He will protect you and He will guide you and He will be with you every day of your life, never leaving you, never forsaking you, and one day bringing you home to those perfect, pleasant pastures where we will be perfect with Jesus, our great Good Shepherd. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.